This is a podcast from WOR.
You've never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Things was kind of slow, see? So I cruised over to Kennedy.
Kennedy Airport?
No, Cape Kennedy. I'm looking to pick up a fare to the moon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it was. My head is
round with fun. It's Sunday night. And this is the place to be, WOR 710. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. And I'm Taxi Dave. Noah, thank you for that great introduction. You know, Noah is the best engineer anybody could hope for. And those are the good rats that followed that excerpt, by the way. We got some phone calls last time. There are a lot of good rats fans apparently out there. What could I tell you? Before I start ranting and raving about something that's really bothering me, a couple of things people need to know. First of all, if you own a General Motors 2004 Buick Regal, Impala, Monte Carlo, 50,000 cars are being recalled, and also Grand Prix vehicles. The valve cover gasket may leak, and if that happens, engine oil dripping onto a hot surface is going to cause a fire. So that could be a problem. And also, 65,000 Jaguar Land Rovers, actually 2013 through 2016, Range Rovers and Range Rover Sports. The door latch may open unexpectedly while the door is closed, and the door could open. So that's definitely an interesting recall for those of you folks who want information that you really can't get anywhere else. And you might have read recently that Chrysler is recalling 1.4 million cars in the United States because apparently hackers can gain access to the engine, steering, and other systems. So somebody wants to be a wise guy while you're on the highway. They can actually shut off your engine or turn your car in a different direction. Okay, cybersecurity researchers used wireless communications to do that. So those are being recalled also. You can expect those in the mail. There's a lot to talk about today. We weren't on last week because the Mets, and for those of you who don't know what the Mets are, you must be under a rock. They played an 18-inning game last Sunday. A 1 o'clock game ended up, 1 o'clock in the afternoon game ended up knocking us out. Today there was an extra inning game, but at least the Mets won in the 10th inning instead of the 18th inning. And before I forget, there will be no Taxi Dave Show next week, I just found out, because the Mets changed their time from 1 o'clock to 8 p.m. Everyone wants a second-place team in the game of the week across the country. What can I tell you, folks? So that's that. I'll tell you about the TLC meeting. Every day in our taxi industry in New York City, there have been probably 6 to 10 articles every day about the yellow taxi industry, about Uber in particular, the last week. The mayor this past week, the Speaker of the City Council. There have been a lot of things going on, but one thing that really bothered me, when I was driving a cab years ago, there was a kind woman who owned a restaurant that was in Harlem. Her name was Sylvia. In fact, I caught up with her, I guess, about 6 years ago, before she passed away. And back in the day, all you had to do was walk into Sylvia's and tell her that you were a cab driver. And she would feed you. Most people don't know that. If you didn't have money to pay, if you were unlucky and out of work, you could go in there. And never any questions. She would just say, have a seat, we'll feed you. This woman was a great woman, and it led the name Sylvia's in my mind to be an icon in New York City. Not because it was in Harlem. Not because it was owned by a black family. Not because the food was great. But because it was a restaurant of the heart for real New Yorkers. And if you were down on your luck or if you were counting every nickel, people in the know knew they could go there and get a free meal from Sylvia herself. Recently, the strategist for Uber, his name is David Plouffe. I don't know. I've never seen the name before. Powder Puff, whatever his name is, decided that he was going to enlist. I don't know what he decided he was going to do, but he decided to take black leaders to Sylvia's, and I guess they had Southern Fried Chicken or something, and that was the statement that he was making, okay? That was a statement. Hey, here we are. We're in Harlem, USA, and we're at Sylvia's, and I got something to say. Did you ever drive a cab, Mr. Puff, Pluff, Plouffe? Do you know what it's like to live dollar to dollar, day to day, week to week, paycheck to paycheck? Do you know what that's like? You don't flaunt a wonderful woman like Sylvia and make a racial statement. Her memory will live in my life forever. And that's why Sylvia's is remembered today, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, with us today is Bertha Lewis. She's the founder and president of the Black Institute. But let me tell you, since Uber's emergence in New York City, you know, e-hail service has been, you know, washed in controversy. And if you're in New York, you know the controversy. If you've watched TV, you've seen some of the, gosh, I don't know, $9 million in TV ads in 10 days to try to change a certain politician's mind or a city council's mind. They've ignored regulations. They've offended everyone, women, minorities. They've steamrolled through every city without regard to rules of the law. One rule is good in one city. The same rule is no good in another city. You know, you can't bully a bully in New York, but apparently they bullied. They've been uncooperative with city officials, not just here, but all over the country, all over the world. There was a problem initially sharing data. Ignoring regulations, they attack politicians, and they attack people who wanted sensible rules for safety and the well-being of the general population. In California, recently, where is that? Oh, I can't find it, but Uber was fined $7.3 million for refusing to provide regulators with data that was required by law. $7.3 million, because they said, no, we're not turning it over. New York City, Uber adds about 2,000 vehicles a month. Right now, they have a fleet of about 20,000 cars. They're woefully underregulated as compared to the yellow taxi industry. There have been many proposals aimed at dealing with Uber. Recently, there was a modest proposal to cap the new FHVs to 1% for a year so the city can conduct a study on the effects of congestion in the environment. Uber didn't like that. The cap was supported by Mayor de Blasio, many city council members, including the speaker of the city council. Uber engaged in an all-out war to stop those rules, to stop the cap. Some say they pandered race issues in their commercials. I understand they sent out mailers against city council members. Now, can you imagine in New York City, you're a city council member, and in your district, a company sends out mailers bashing you. And then all of a sudden, the mayor, after meeting with Uber, announced there was an agreement to abandon the cap. And instead of a year environmental impact study, there'll be a four-month study. And during that time, I guess Uber will grow 2,000 cars a month. Who knows? So there have been protests. There have been a lot of articles, as I said, written. And one of the people, he had to talk to me about this current bizarre situation, is Bertha Lewis. Now, Bertha has a sterling reputation as one of the top activists in New York State. You know, as I said, she's the founder and president of the Black Institute. And that's an action-oriented think tank whose mission is to address issues faced by people of color. Okay, not going to Sylvia's and eating Southern fried chicken and saying, hey, you know, we're helping minorities. She was a founding member of the Working Families Party, one of the predominant parties now in New York State. She's a leader whose impact can't be overstated. She's been recognized as one of the most influential political leaders in New York and beyond. And she's been in publications, Crain's, The Observer, New York Magazine, Essence, City and State. Anyway, I'm sorry, Bertha. Bertha, thanks for joining me today. It's great to have you on the Taxi Dave Show. Welcome.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be back. I haven't been on in a very long time. So thank you for having me back here. And also, more importantly, thank you for telling people and setting the record straight about Sylvia and what she meant and what that restaurant really means. It ticked me off to no end to have such an institution like that just co-opted and used and stereotyped. And as you say, David Plouffe's never driven a cab. He never, you know, please, I just am like livid about the tactics that these folks employed and the over-the-top sort of disagreement there was. I mean, we can all have our own opinions and disagree, but you can't have your own set of facts. And it just was despicable the way in which they stereotyped the Black community, they stereotyped communities of color just for their own gain. This is a $50 billion company, and it is despicable the way in which they've decided to come in here, and it was disrespectful. And I said so, but I thank you for putting the record straight and giving that real history.
It meant a lot to me. You know, she meant a lot to me. And, you know, I was up in Harlem, like I said, about 5 or 6 years ago, and I stopped in. She was still the same open-hearted, kind-hearted woman that we all remember her, and that's why we will remember. Anyway, you know, you've been very vocal, Bertha, about Uber's operations in New York, especially recently given Uber's response to the proposed cap bill and their eventual agreement with the mayor, which actually killed the cap. Can you give our listeners your take on what's been going on recently regarding that?
Well, one of the things is sort of this PR terrorism. You know, they spend almost, you know, $6, $7, $8, $9 million on this blitzkrieg of television ads to try to convince people that Uber somehow loves Black people. Well, they don't. They don't care. They'll just use you and abuse you, which is their business model. It just seemed to me that there was this whole sort of, okay, well, it's over, Uber's here, and let them do whatever they want. Any job is better than no job. And so whatever kind of part-time job and the lies that Uber tells about jobs is just fine. And I just really got upset because I saw how they were using this racial angle to be like they were the savior of folks. We all know, and you know, Dave, this is a city that is 65% minority. Most of the drivers are minority, but they tried to paint this as if this is Uber versus a handful of millionaire medallion owners. Well, first of all, that's not reality. The reality is, you know, 75% of this industry are owner-operators, you know, little guys who only have one or two medallions. Their voice was not being heard. Their face was not being shown because Uber didn't care. All they wanted to do was paint a picture of them, you know, and against the mayor. So the reality of what the industry actually needs to get into the 21st century was obscured. A small thing, like, okay, let's study the impact of so many cars in our city. Let's take a time out for a year. Wasn't going to be like Uber could be shut down. Just a little cap. But as you said earlier, they don't want to be regulated. They don't want to be looked at. They want to do what they want to do. And it's this billionaire syndrome of like, I'm rich, and so therefore anything that I say goes. And it's harmful. It's harmful to the industry. We can't have a serious conversation about real needed reforms. And, oh, by the way, every other taxi has to pay into the city, has to pay into the system, and actually contribute to public transportation, which millions and millions of New Yorkers will never take a cab or never take Uber, but they don't think that they have to contribute to that. But they love people of color. So it just incensed me, and some folks were a little scared to fight back because they put out propaganda about you or do a mailer. But as you know, Dave, I don't care. I'm going to speak my mind, and what's right is right. And
no, you're going to speak your mind, Bertha. I don't believe that.
I'm so shy.
You know, I think they were hoping. You know, I liked Councilman Rodriguez's comment. He couldn't help himself last week at a press conference where he told Uber, the next time you send out flyers to in my neighborhood, make sure they're in Spanish because no one really speaks English in my district.
Well, I was with him at that press conference.
Oh, okay.
And that was a perfect example of what I mean. You know, these guys really have no sort of connection to people of color, and yet they want to claim that they're the champions. And if you knew his district, at least send out a bilingual flyer. At least.
Well, that would be the intelligent thing to do. Fatal flaw. Not only that, but, you know, what did they expect? Did they expect other city councilmen to say, oh, no, I'll do anything Uber wants because they're going to send out flyers in my district? Or
yeah.
They're going to say, hey, buddy, this is New York City. You can't bully us.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they counted on, that there would be fear and that folks would go along to get along, and also that they would pull the race card. Oh, you know, yellow cabs haven't picked you up, but we're here to save you. And we got jobs, okay? You know, you colored people, we got jobs for you. We know all we have to do is throw the idea of a job out there, and you'll go for anything. It's despicable. And there are those of us who came together to say, no, we're not going to be bullied by these people, no matter how rich they are or how big they are. Someone has got to stand up and show the face of the little guys and the drivers who are just trying to live out the American dream. And this is not about a handful of millionaires versus the mayor. This is about a giant corporation trying to have their way and do what they want whenever they want, however they want. And the hell with workers, the hell with the public. You know, we're Uber, and we're Uber, and we're over. And they're shady.
We're going to take some phone calls. Call us at 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. Or email me at taxihale@AOL.com. taxihale@AOL.com. I will read your clean emails over the air. And what Bertha says is true. You know, you've heard it before. You get brainwashed that, you know, if you're a medallion owner, you own a 100-foot yacht, you eat caviar for breakfast, and, you know, you have a butler in your bathroom. I mean, the fact is that most medallion purchasers, you look at those individual medallions at the last few auctions, all immigrants, all people who've saved their money, got family money together, maxed out their credit cards to put down a down payment, not to become a millionaire, but to work, okay, and have New York City as a partner because you were promised to pick up, you were promised the exclusive right to pick up street hails. And was that promise broken? Well, I can't really talk about that, but I will tell you this. Somebody who drives a cab, when you buy that medallion, you're buying a mortgage of hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you're paying that off. That money, at auctions, that money goes into the city to pay for city services, you know, whether it's education, fire, police, you know, sanitation, what have you. It goes to the city.
But Scott Dave, Stringer, this is the pact that these hardworking people make with the city, and they say, okay, we'll abide by your regulations. We have a calculation of trying to earn a living, and we know the rules, and we'll abide by the rules. But this trust, this pact, is being broken because it's like we don't care about all of you hardworking folks out there. We never see your face. You know, we don't care about you. The pact is broken. What you assumed to be correct, you played by the rules, you did everything right. Well, too bad, sucker, because we got, you know, this giant billionaires who come in here and they claim they're in cyberspace, so they can't be regulated. And yet, what about real New Yorkers? I would love to see some changes and reform in the entire industry. I would love to see a people's app where folks, you know, could hit an app and call a metered car, and actually that was affordable, but that's not what Uber's talking about. And it really lets down the hardworking medallion owners of this city when you break that pact and you devalue them and you ignore them and you have a deal struck. And these guys, the hardworking ones who are the majority of the industry, are not even at the table. That's what pisses me off.
Here's an email from Mahabub Sujan. Hi, Taxi Dave. How many black folks work for Uber as employees? I heard none. Is this true? You know what? Listen to the Uber radio show. Or maybe, I mean, they spent millions on those television ads, so I'm sure they have a television show. And call them and ask them that question. It's a great question, and I don't know the answer to it.
Well, look at their corporate, you know. I mean, that's the other question. I'm sure they have lots of consultants who are black, and I'm sure they put up black faces in their ads, but what about, you know, their corporate structure? Who's really calling the shots here? I don't think so. I don't think they have them, because if they did, they would not have employed the kind of tactics that they exhibited, which, again, were despicable and totally ignored the vast majority of the industry, who are people of color and who are immigrants.
Bertha, we're going to get to phone calls because every line is lit up. I just want to read another email that came in. Hi, Taxi Dave. I played tourist today in New York City with my niece Colleen and her two sons. Went over to the World Trade Center Memorial. Love her. She took a yellow cab from Penn Station. After we were done there for the day, we did it again and hailed a yellow cab. These men and women work hard to make a living. Anyway, just to let you know, I'm not picking up the New York Daily News anymore. It seems like that company, I guess they're referring to Uber. I also got an annoying phone call from them last week to support them. And you know what I said? I can't repeat it in my Brooklynese potty mouth. I never wrote a letter for any politician that I have voted for, but I plan on writing one to our governor. He should be ashamed of himself, and our mayor, too, for not standing up for the little guy. When I do, I'll forward you a copy. I love yellow cabs. They rock. And that's from Christine A. I won't give out her last name. Okay. We have a full board of phone calls. So let's take Charbel. You're first on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening. I do appreciate your triumph for Sunday night. Anyway,
say hello to Bertha Lewis.
Hello, Bertha, Miss Bertha Lewis. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. First of all, I do blame Mayor de Blasio. The minute he stepped in, he should stop Uber. Second of all, I do blame Mario Cuomo. He was doing something good for increasing the minimum wage up to $15 an hour. But what's going to happen for all the small business that are going to hire part-time people? Instead of 40 hours, they're going to give them 10 or 15 hours, and they're still going to go back on the welfare. Mario Cuomo also did mention we have no authority to be involved in any private business, like he did mention about Uber. But how about Taxi and Limousine Commission? We are belong to the Taxi and Limousine Commission. And he's trying to make comment about getting rid of the people who are on welfare. Very soon we are going to be on welfare, and very soon we are going to file bankruptcy. And I do blame all the politicians that are involved, because they are going to crash the economy within 2 years because of the taxi industry all over the United States.
Do you own a medallion?
I do own a medallion.
How many?
I do own one.
Okay. May I ask how much you owe, or would you like to keep that private?
I can send you a statement, $807,000.
You owe $800,000, and people are calling you millionaires.
Yes.
How much do you have to pay for that mortgage alone?
Every month, very close to $4,000 every month.
Okay, say no more.
Ask me how much.
Charbel, listen, thank you so much for calling. Got your point. We have a lot of callers lined up. But, you know, you hear that, folks? Medallion owners, okay, don't have yachts. They've bought a job. Anyway, our next caller, Bert, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, David. I want to thank Ms. Lewis for coming on your show and articulating tonight what you have been articulated the last 3 weeks by the leaders of this industry. I don't know I don't know who the leaders of this industry are, because they were silent while Uber was just about calling every medallion owner a racist and every cab driver that didn't go into a neighborhood where all of a sudden Uber is. You know, so Ms. Lewis, thank you. You articulated it so beautifully. You know, you brought me to tears that somebody finally spoke up for us. I would like to tell you this, Ms. Lewis. I have a 68-year-old Vietnam veteran. I bought a medallion in 1969 with the money that I saved while I was in Vietnam. I drove it for approximately 30 years. I still work in the industry in another field. That medallion was my retirement money. Now, I don't expect the world to feel sorry for me, because all of a sudden my retirement is threatened. But what I would like to say is that this industry offers you something that was valuable, whether it was $1 million or not. If it's worth $1 million, you probably paid $1.5 million. It's all the interest and the money you pay on the loans for it. And what it does is it offers everybody, you know, every person, every cab driver, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, young, old, Asian, Mid-Eastern, a woman, a heterosexual, or a homosexual, it offers every person an equal opportunity to work hard and have something for your retirement, or sell it and make a profit. This, I thought, was the American way. We work hard. Uber likes to say, well, our drivers work less. Of course they work less, because you got people there that aren't taxi drivers. They just go to work for 1 hour a day and make a couple of dollars on their way home. That's not what this industry was set up. This industry should be for permanent workers, but there's a lot of room for improvement, but they should be, you know, easier to be part-time workers. But anyway, I'm ashamed to say that this industry watched TV commercials every night. I watched the channel of the city of New York, and I watched the person who emceed that channel bash the medallion industry every single night. And I thought he's a news person, just get the news and ask the questions, not tell me how hard it was for you to get a cab, which, by the way, that's a problem of racism. It exists in the taxi industry, in the police department, in everywhere form of life. There's always going to be racism. It's unfortunate. We need to find better ways that, you know, that should never happen. No person of any color should ever have to be standing on the street and refuse service. That's ridiculous. That's up to the TLC to have rules where if you do it once, $1,000 fine. You do it twice, you have no more hack license. Make it simple. Anyway, I want to thank you, Ms. Lewis, and I hope the leaders of this industry who say they're the leaders finally speak up and do something. And, you know, you shouldn't have to do this for us. There are leaders to do something and say something. You've been silent too long. You're not my leader. The leaders are the 75% that you mentioned, a small individual medallion, you know, that has no voice except when David allows you a phone call on the show. Good night.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel, Bert.
That was great.
Can you stay with us, Bertha?
Sure, I can. Of course.
All right. When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Email is taxihale@AOL.com. We are brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Give Melrose a try. You know, they're trying for you. Anyway, stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. We'll be right back.
Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown. Let's go, let's go, let's go downtown. Come on, baby, let's go downtown. Let's go, let's go, let's go downtown.
Walk on, talk on. The Taxi Dave Show is back. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. We're here with Bertha Lewis, the founder and president of the Black Institute and one of the founding members of the Working Families Party. Bertha, thank you for coming on the show. You want to hit some more phone calls?
Sure, sure.
Okay, John, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic. Say hi to Bertha.
Hello, everybody. I was in the industry for about 25 years. I was of Greek heritage. And the Greeks were and still are today a very big part of the yellow cab industry. I think to have this person that represents social engineering to comment on what is an industry is disgusting and makes me almost want to turn off the radio. But I try and stay on so that I can see the and hear the type of people that are on the show that have nothing to do with the industry, but want to social engineer. This, and he doesn't like to throw the word racist around. This person would be out there on the front lines when a yellow cab passed by a person of color, and now they're here defending them. It's all what's in it for me today. This person is not who should be on representing the yellow cab industry. The people who represent the yellow cab industry are the owners, and the owners work very hard, and they have nothing to apologize for becoming wealthy, if they became wealthy, which I know many, many, many wealthy yellow cab medallion owners. So let's not kid ourselves. But this racist that you have on right now is a disgusting display.
You know, John, you know something? Freedom of the press and freedom of speech is a wonderful thing. And I do appreciate you listening, and I do appreciate your calling. Obviously, it got your fur up. But what have you done to help the industry? Did you watch those commercials on... I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me just say, Dave, first of all, I'm not here to represent the yellow taxi industry. I'm here to represent everyday working people. And I think at this point, maybe the only silver lining that there is maybe we can finally have an honest conversation. And as the previous caller said, you know, I've been fighting racism and sexism and classism, you know, all my life. And the thing is, you call out injustice when you see it. And what Uber has done is to use racism to their own benefit. They didn't care about the average driver. They don't care about those medallion owners who only have one and two medallions, who've worked really hard all their life. They don't care about those folks. What they care about is their bottom line, and it is wrong for a giant corporation to try to use race and ethnicity and to do it disingenuously. Scott Stringer, the controller, said, oh, let's pause and let's reform the entire industry. Okay, even though a deal was struck that didn't have everyone at the table, all right, let's use this 4 months. Let's talk about reforming the industry. Let's talk about, you know, having some reforms that need to be changed, and nothing is ever going to be perfect, but we're going to use this 4 months, because if we're going to talk about drivers, and it's nothing wrong with building wealth, I think that's what this country is built on. But don't try to dismiss 75% of this industry who are not multimillionaires and are not billionaires. Their voices count as much as multimillionaires and billionaires do. That is who I'm talking about.
Now you can shut off your radio, John. Tom O'Connor, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hello, Dave. First, hit the nail on the head. Unfortunately, that character you had on just a while ago, he's a total disgrace. I hope he's not part of the industry. That's number number two, what I'd like to say in reference, I'd like to go back into the 30s when we had thousands and thousands of cabs on the city streets, double the amount that we have today. And it got so bad that it became a criminal industry due to a lack of income. They turned to all kinds of crimes, such as prostitution and robbery and theft and you name it. And the end result is this is going to be the final say also. With Uber in here, the driver will be not receiving the proper income so he can survive. And the next thing, he'll be turned into some sort of crime and will destroy the entire city by Uber. That's one. Another thing is big corporations that are one is behind Uber. Goldman Sachs financed it $50 billion. That's the organization that is the culprit in this here crime. $50 billion, and they're going to spend more. They're the ones that are out to destroy the taxi industry throughout the country. Goldman Sachs. Keep that in mind.
Thanks for listening and calling the Taxi Dave Show. Appreciate it, Tom. I think the value is $50 billion, Bertha.
Your value is $50 billion, and let us not forget, this is a global industry, and let us not forget, this is not just a New York phenomenon. People are pushing back against the likes of Uber all across the globe, and we know that we're in the 21st century. Yes, let's have the transportation industry in the 21st century. But other countries and other states are pushing back against these folks. We cannot, we just cannot have the one percenters deciding how the rest of our lives should be. It's just, it's not right. And as long as we have community organizations and labor organizations who will come together, we're going to stand up and say, no, we're going to push back. They can use their propaganda all they want to. They can call us names. We don't care. What's right is right.
Here's an email. Uber has a three-stage operation in regards to how drivers get their jobs, green, yellow, and red. The way a driver explained it to me is the green is for new drivers, so they somehow get the most jobs initially. After a few months, they get shuffled to the yellow stage, where they get fewer jobs, and then finally the red stage, where they get even less work. The driver is fed up with the treatment by Uber, and he's leaving for a legitimate black car base. This is just an email. Folks, this is secondhand, just to let you know. We have a lot of long emails. People have a lot to say, obviously, but...
Well, that is not an uncommon story, Dave. You know, we were standing with members of the Taxi Drivers Alliance, and many of them were former Uber drivers who tell the same sort of horror story about how you're lured in, and it's a bait-and-switch kind of thing, you know, and they'll tell you, you're going to make $35,000 in 6 months guaranteed. And when...
Oh, maybe that's how they're doing it.
Exactly how they're doing it. And like I say, that story is not unusual.
Really? Okay. This is from Abe Middleman. Bertha, thank you so much for speaking the truth. 42 years and retired. I never refused a fare to anywhere in the five boroughs and beyond. It's so good to hear you speak. Thanks for the email, Abe. Okay.
Thank you, Abe.
No, that's too long. This is too long. Okay. Hey, Taxi Dave, great show as always. Remind Bertha that I pick up people of all races and that driving a yellow cab saved me from defaulting on my student loans. Uber's playing on stereotypes in the worst possible way, from Pat. Thanks a lot, Pat, for your email. Okay, now let me just switch over here. Let's see who's on the phone list here. Jack, oh, I'm sorry. Let's take Clem. Clem, you're next in line on the Taxi Dave show.
Yes. Hi, Dave. Hi, Bertha. What Bertha says, I cited what transportation member on the city councilman Greenfield said about 6 months ago. He said the average ride for Uber is $39 a mile. Plus, it is known that they have gouging too. He said one of his constituents in Borough Park, Brooklyn, was charged $450 to go from Borough Park to LaGuardia. Now, in Brooklyn, I know Brooklyn, the average black, the average white, like myself, we cannot afford to pay $39 a mile. See, if we don't see any medallion taxis around, we hail or call for a car service. So this is a con job. But they're trying to let you think with their television ads that the first thing they do when they start work is to cruise in to Brooklyn or Queens. When they concentrate, it says the report in the paper said 72% of their jobs are south of 60th Street. And also, it's very important to remember what was written in either the Daily News or the Post that said, for every 10 jobs a medallion taxi has, Uber only has one. That explains why a lot of Uber drivers are going back to drive medallion taxis.
Thank you, Clem, for listening to the Taxi Dave show and calling us. Appreciate it. Jack, you're next on the Taxi Dave show.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dave. Hey, Bertha. How you doing? Switching gears for a moment, I kind of had an eyebrow-raising moment with my cell phone carrier. I've been with them for about 8 years. They offered me an upgraded cell phone. So I took the upgraded cell phone, and I received it. And, you know, when you get a new cell phone, they have a lot of apps that are already preset into the phone, you know, like Google Maps, that kind of thing. Well, lo and behold, what was on there? There was an Uber app. And I'm scratching my head. How did Uber get into my phone? I mean, are we talking they've got to deal with this? The carrier, I'll say, is Sprint, or the phone is Samsung? I mean, what the heck? You want to talk about some tentacles of power? I mean, if that doesn't, if that is not a self-realization, I don't know what is.
Well, that's very true. That's, you know, that's interesting because it's their business model, you know, to sort of make sure that they inundate every single device everywhere and take advantage of technology. And so, like you say, all of a sudden, how did Uber get into my phone? How did Uber get into my life? You don't have the same sort of thing where maybe I call it a people's app where, you know, anyone, a working family, a poor person, an elderly person, a single mom, you know, could hit an app and get a metered car or could get, you know, a pre-priced black car. And so, yeah, everybody needs to get into the 21st century. But this sort of marketing and having these sort of corporate deals, it is like that. I think a lot of people have discovered all of a sudden Uber's on my phone and Uber's in my life.
There's a professional network called LinkedIn website, and I joined it. It seemed very professional, non-commercial in any respect. LinkedIn sent me a notice about Uber last week, which I thought was very interesting as well.
They're everywhere.
Jack, is that it? Okay. We have more phone calls. When we come back, we'll try to take some more phone calls. I have some questions for Bertha. We're here with Bertha Lewis from the Black Institute, president and founder. I'm Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. So stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Taxi Dave Show is back. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Melrose Studios in Briarwood, Queens, overlooking that wonderful highway with waterfalls and palm trees and golden sunsets called the Van Wyck Expressway. What a lovely view we have from Melrose. I must say. Bertha Lewis, president of the Black Institute. What do you hope city officials will do about Uber? And, you know, what would you like to see happen in terms of Uber being regulated? What should the mayor do or the city council speaker? So it's kind of like one question rolled, a few rolled into one. But as far as city officials go, what do you think they should do?
Well, I as I said before, I do think the only silver lining here is let's have a real open, honest conversation about the industry and taking New York City's transportation industry into the 21st century. There are issues that we need to talk about. We need to talk about, you know, drivers as employees. We need to talk about insurance. We need to talk about the kind of predatory loans that Uber is involved with their drivers who have to take out loans from a financial company that Uber has an interest in, and they wind up paying 22% in interest. We need to talk about the hours. We need to talk about real regulation. How much does a company like Uber need to pay in? Let's all play by the same rules. Let's have some regulation. Regulation was there because of trying to protect not only the safety of passengers, but the safety of drivers. So I hope that this is an opportunity to regulate this new sort of technology. But it's no different from anything else. Just because you're an app doesn't mean that you aren't selling something. You're selling the same thing as a yellow, a green, or a black car. You're selling a ride. So I think we need to level the playing field. Uber needs to play by the same rules as everyone else. And if we have issues about employees and insurance and regulation, then let's have that conversation. But this time, let's have everyone that's in this industry at the table. Let's not leave out 75% of the industry. And those are the small medallion owners. Let's not cast them aside as if they don't count. They have really good issues and ideas and suggestions. And let's take this opportunity to make transportation in New York City go into the 21st century. That's what I want to see.
Okay. Let's take another caller. Michael, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Taxi Dave. Good evening, Bertha.
Thank you.
In my opinion, what Uber is doing actually is going to crash the economy. All the cabs in New York and Boston and Chicago, all the big cities, will be defaulting on the medallion, and we're going to have to file bankruptcy, give them back to the people that financed us. I am one of the drivers almost underwater. And
can I ask you publicly how much you owe, or would you rather not say?
No, it's not a secret. You know, I owe almost $700,000.
Okay, go ahead.
And there is no business enough for me, even if I work 18 hours or for Uber drivers. There are so many cars on the road. There isn't enough business for all of us. And I like to know if Uber really cares about the borough and the minorities. What are his cars doing in Manhattan? We can't even find a stand to go to the bathroom. They're occupying every stand because there's no business for everybody.
So they're even...
Ending, I'd like to thank Mayor de Blasio for throwing us under the bus and caving into Uber. You know, I am very grateful to him. We really thought he was a champion for the poor man, but he proved otherwise.
Michael, thank you for calling the Taxi Dave Show and voicing your opinion. Keep listening. Junior, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dave, for everything. I just want to just mention that we forget also the green taxi, because the reason I'm mentioning it, I'm not a medallion owner, I'm a driver. But 2 years ago, the medallion was going all the way up. Now green taxi and Uber, Lyft, Gift, all the app services, now they're taking business from the yellow taxi. And then when you get to the airport, you got a hustler. And everybody they're taking business. It's like everybody have a representative except for the yellow taxi. Or it seems like the yellow taxi don't have any representative. And it's people can just push her over. And the mayor, I love the mayor, but I think he lose the battle with Uber, you know. And we have to try to do something about it, because if not, the next thing you know, the yellow taxi industry will fall by the wayside, and we have a mass scramble for chaos in New York City. Hopefully, they don't get to that point, but
Junior, thank you so much for calling into the Taxi Dave show and listening. Actually,
well, Junior, I just wanted to say very quickly, Junior makes a very good point, because there are a lot of players here. You know, you do have small medallion owners who only have one or two, but you also have non-medallion owners, folks that just want to work. They are the drivers also. So yellow, green, and black, you know, everybody has to be at the table, including drivers.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Bertha. As I mentioned in the intro, you're one of New York's most effective activists. And apparently, by some phone calls, some people like you, some people don't. We have less than a minute left. But how can everyday New Yorkers get involved if they want to fight back against this $50 billion company?
Well, I think what they can do is they can go to our website, www.theblackinstitute.org, and we will plug them in to this growing coalition of folks. They can contact the Taxi Drivers Alliance. They can contact the New York Communities for Change. And also, they can stand up and please send in support to Idanis Rodriguez, as well as Council Member Steve Levin, who really are profiles in courage.
Both Bertha Lewis, President and Founder of the Black Institute, thank you for being with us. Thank you, all you listeners, all you callers. And I am Taxi Dave. We will not be on next week. The Mets have an 8 p.m. show. We'll be on every Sunday after that. Okay, we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. And keep the fight. I got to go now. Hey, Taxi, take me to Sylvia's.
The proceeding was a paid program.